goodness, what a job they had to do. They had no cannon making breaches. They were told to rest their ladders on the walls, and just like Romans and Carthaginians and medieval knights and warriors, they had to climb up these ladders, what they call escalade, and jump over the top and attack the defenders on the top of the battlements.
All seizing the ladders, we pulled and pushed each other with them up the acclivity of the mound as the shortest way to its summit. With difficulty, five ladders were reared on the mound, and I arranged the troops on them successively, according to my instructions. In such an extremity, four of my ladders with troops on them and an officer on the top of each were broken successively near the upper ends and slided into the angle of the abutment.
The men were not so eager to go up the ladders as I expected they would be. They were crowded as thick as possible in the ditch, as their officers desired them to go up. The men were asking, "Where is the 74th? Where's the 94th?" I perceived they were looking for others from their regiments, instead of making for the ladders. I went up the nearest ladder, and halfway up I called out, "Here's the 94th!" I was glad to see the men below begin to mount. In a short time they were all up, and I believe there were not many of my regiment up before me.
Just before midnight, Colonel Henry Ridge had managed to get his ladder up against one of these ramparts in a slightly lower spot than elsewhere, and he climbed to the top, protected by his men's bayonets and swords. Now, suddenly, he was on the battlements, and a rush of his comrades followed him.
Yeah, Dan, and Ridge was unlucky. He was mortally wounded after that. But another guy, a Lieutenant MacPherson, climbed up the wall as well by ladder, and then when he got to the top, he was hit by a shot. Mercifully for him, he hit a Spanish coin in his pocket, so he was saved from being wounded. And he managed to struggle up the tower of the castle. You can see just over there. Struggled up the tower of the castle, pulled down the French flag, and bunged up on top of the flagpole his own red tunic. So the castle was then effectively British.
Just minutes after the hauling up of the red coats, an officer tore up to the group surrounding Wellington and shouted, "Where's Lord Wellington?" Wellington identified himself and said, "Who are you?" And it turned out to be Picton's aide-de-camp, Lieutenant Tyler. And Wellington said, "Well." And Lieutenant Tyler shouted, "General Picton has taken the castle." And Wellington said, "In that case, then the place is ours."
Many brave officers and soldiers were killed or wounded by explosions at the top of the breaches. Others who succeeded to them were obliged to give way, having found it impossible to penetrate the obstacles which the enemy had prepared to impede their progress. These attempts were repeated till after 12 at night, when finding that success was not to be attained, and that Lieutenant General Picton was established in the castle, I ordered that the 4th and Light Divisions might retire.
It was well known in this period that if you stormed a town, the town would be given over to plunder, rapine and pillage after that happened. And never was there a better example of this than the dreadful scenes that followed the fall of Badajoz.
The question is, how far was this something Wellington approved or disapproved of? It's a very, very moot point. Lots of arguments on either side. Some of the men say that Wellington actually said, "OK, guys, go and have a good loot."
The next morning, it was a most dismal sight to behold. Some wanting legs, some arms or heads, some drowned. And to hear the cries of those surviving brave soldiers for a drop of water, it would have melted a heart of stone. Then Lord Wellington gave orders for every soldier to have 4 hours' plunder in the town.
Eventually the place was completely sacked by our troops. Every atom of furniture was broken and mattresses ripped open in search of treasure. One street was strewn with articles knee-deep. A convent was in flames, and the poor nuns in dishabille, striving to burrow themselves into some place of security, which was impossible. The town was alive, with every house filled with mad soldiers, from the cellar to the once solitary garret.
One of the shames of the British Army, what happened here that night.
It must be said, it's not just the British Army, but all the armies of this period. It was convention that after a city was stormed, it would be given up to the fury of the troops.
Wellington achieved an enormously important victory here with the storming of Badajoz. He'd now got the road to Madrid wide open before him, had a serious foothold in the country he really wanted to knock Napoleon out of, and he'd given a terrible warning to cities ahead of him that if they closed their gates to his army, they would really be in trouble.
Wellington was always a man who tried to keep a grip on his emotions.
Richard Holmes.
But it is clear that there were times when he was profoundly visibly moved by what happened.